you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow addicts? It's Ralph Sutton, the SDR show. We got a doozy for you. We've been knocking them out of the park lately. It's just me right now. Because why? Because I think I'm alone now. It is Tiffany coming on this week. You know her from the 80s. Big J is a big fan of the documentary, so very excited to have her on the show. Don't forget, we do the show live every single Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern time. You could go to the sdrshow.com/live to watch live for free, or use the code SDR at gasdigitalnetwork.com. You get 20% off access to about 22 shows, and we just signed a brand new show called Are You Garbage? Very funny comedic game show that I'm very happy to announce, along with Without a Country, which is featuring Joe DeRosa and Corinne Fisher on the show as well, on the network as well. Use the code SDR, get a 14-day free trial. This episode right here, you would have heard commercial free and about 5 days ago. Also, maybe it's time to sport the SDRshow.com t-shirt. Go to podcastmerch.com and get an SDR t-shirt. If you go to podcastmerch.com/SDR and use the code SDR20, you can get 20% off any SDR merchandise. We have a new shirt that is the non-offensive shirt because we get a lot of complaints that all of our t-shirts had wieners or boobs on them. So now there's just a regular SDR show shirt that you can wear around the parents or the kids or the grandparents or the PTA meeting. Go to podcastmerch.com/SDR. For that brand new shirt. And here it is right now, the Tiffany episode of The SDR Show.
This is the intro to the shit show. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. This is a hit show. Show me a tit show. Please, someone walk the hole. It's weed, I beat, it's hookers and blow. It's art, you need to know. The SDR Show. Let's go.
It is the SDR Show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show. I am Ralph Sutton. As always, Big J Okerson joining me, looking as beautiful as ever with such a great background, Big J.
Thank you. It's all Christine, but thank you.
Remember, always follow us everywhere at the SDR Show. You can email us, the boys at the SDR Show. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes. We pick people randomly to get t-shirts and make them feel good about themselves. Very excited that this worked out. It's been a long time in the making. I think we booked this, Jay, 2 months ago, which might be the longest in advanced interview that we've ever booked.
You should have made it go back for, you should have been like, we've been trying to get this since 1987.
We were a podcast in 1987. Nobody could listen, but we were a podcast. And it is Tiffany. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. I didn't know we were going like that for quite some time. Thanks for hanging in there.
It was funny because it came down the wire a while ago and they said, you know, in mid-May or whatever you know today's date is. And I said, sure. But it was just funny to keep seeing that on the calendar so far ahead of the time. I do think it's the longest in advance we've ever booked somebody. So congratulations.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm so glad that we're doing it today.
It's awesome. I'm excited for multiple reasons. I'm excited to talk to you, but one is such a fun, we've actually met before one time years ago now when I first moved to New York from Philadelphia and was doing stand-up comedy. I got a job. I got hooked up by Mark Maron, who's a comedian, to do warm up for the audience for a game show he was doing on VH1 called Nevermind the Buzzcocks.
Oh yeah.
And you were promoting, I think, Playboy at the time, and you were on. It's that week was one of the most insane weeks of my life. One, meeting you was very exciting, but they had such a mishmash of celebrities. It was, I smoked weed with Coolio and Sebastian Bach.
Oh, yeah. Well.
They had the guy, I think, on your episode. They brought out Mike Reno from Loverboy on your episode, I believe.
Yes, they did. They did. It was a fun time.
It was a very fun show.
Tiffany, I doubt you remember meeting Jay, but you do remember the episode. You do remember
that. I remember the episode. I should.
Yeah, she certainly wouldn't remember. I was just doing the audience warm up. That would right, okay. go. That would come. No, she probably didn't even
remember.
See me.
It was a lot. It was a lot of fun. It was a good cast of people. It was a lot of it was random.
And then I, by the way, I never met you, but what's a funny story is when I was in college in 1987 or 88, a friend of mine went to audition to be in your band. His name was Craig. Really? He was a guitarist, and he went to try and be the guitarist in your band. He didn't get in.
Shitty guitarist, clearly.
Shitty guitarist. It might have been 88. I don't know, somewhere 88 in that area. It was so long ago, but such a funny tie-in that he was so excited. I remember talking with him that he was going to try and audition for you, which I think is hilarious.
Oh, my. Oh,
your friend,
yeah.
Your friend Craig blows, dude.
He sucks. Apparently, he really sucks. Yeah.
Damn, he blows.
So we'll talk about the new EP that's coming out, A Piece of Me, The Unplugged, and also the cooking stuff. I have a lot to talk to you about because I also went to cooking school for a year and ran a restaurant for 4 years. We could talk about that.
I love that.
But one thing I looked you up. One thing that surprised me, which makes us even closer than you realize, if it's true, are you indeed half Syrian? Is that right?
I'm Lebanese.
Yes. Oh, okay. So I'm Syrian. So I thought because it said on Wiki that you were Syrian, I got all excited.
Yeah. Well, see, I mean, it is different. It's funny because half of my side of my family is Lebanese, half is Syrian.
Oh, okay.
So, but not on my only on my dad's side. So yes. So I know the different foods. We split in different things. You know, Wadarish, everything is a little different how we make it. And
yeah, they get very very regional. Like the lahmacun or the sambusak and all that stuff gets very regional.
But I've learned both sides, which is great. I loved going to both sides of the family. Like I said, you know, I've kind of taken it in. My family's from Dearborn, Michigan, my dad's side.
Jay, so how much did that part of that last 2 minutes of conversation bother you, just out of curiosity?
No, I love it. I love all the different, you know.
No, Tiffany, this has nothing to do with you. That was a fantastic answer, and I believe everything you said. Ralph has never latched on to being Syrian one time in his life except this moment, and it just showed me what a creep he is. This is how he tries to connect with women. He goes, oh, I'm also Middle Eastern. There's nothing in his makeup. His the way he lives.
Are you lying to me?
I don't think he's lying to you. It's just he's never had
he's
an.
Never been bald. He's never like, you know, like. Yes,
this sounds like a 20. Yeah, you got a 23andMe report, and now all of a sudden you're fucking. Oh, Ralph. Oh, dude, you're so lucky we don't do the show in person.
No, I do. Look, I love Syrian food. By the way, I do. I'm a big fan of it. Hard to find.
Mm-hmm. Sure you do, dude. Yeah, all the time. You're always digging on Syrian
you're
food.
You're in my life. You're in my life one day a week.
You post 100% of your food on the internet like a weird 15-year-old, and none of it's been Syrian. Not one thing yet.
All right. Meanwhile, so let's transition into that.
Oh, I bet.
The Let's Food with Tiffany. Tell me a little bit. I know that it's a membership thing for recipes, and I looked online about it. Can you elaborate on it a little bit?
Well, it really started, again, being in the kitchen all the time, is you know, having a Lebanese grandmother and a German grandmother. You know, the kitchen was the hubbub of the family. So my grandparents and my mother would let me just kind of play around in the kitchen as long as I cleaned my mess up. And that led to, like, experimenting with different stuff. I loved the Mediterranean side because it was fresh. But, you know, again, the German, I loved all of those different flavors and all that robust, you know, kind of gritty kind of flavor. You know, I love mustard and all of that. So, and sauerkraut's one of my favorites. But she also met my grandfather, who is Southern. And so we got, like, you know, cornbread and all that jazz. So it was a mixture of all this stuff. So I learned kind of combining all of those weird foods together. And then as I grew up, my favorite food. So my food is very like an infusion of a little bit of that. I love spicy, but you can edit that out if you don't want it. But I mean, I started cooking on the road for the band. Traveling now, being on the road, doing new music, turning those corners and going more as a live performer and just really kind of groundwork being out there for 3 years. I learned I just couldn't eat anywhere I chose. You feel awful. It's just too much processed food. And I really missed being in a kitchen. And that led to me, again, cooking for the band after shows, to sharing with my fans recipes, and then all of a sudden finding out that they're recreating my recipes and like talking about it amongst themselves. I didn't even know about this. And I was like, oh, you guys are into it. So that's kind of how, you know, this all came to be. I was going to be offering some very interesting packages, meet and greets on the road, including food, where I cater the event. You come and sound check, different things like that. But we're not on the road. And that led me to think, well, what can I still be doing? I want to do music and interact and live stream and everything. of course, because I have the new EP out and everything. But what else can I be doing to interact with people that they can come into my world? And a lot of people, on no joke, you know, a lot of people do email me or whatever and say, you know, I know you're the girl that sings I Think Are Alone Now, but I'm really alone and I'm not doing well with this. And I thought, well, that's kind of serious. So the food, Let's Food and everything, it's a piece of my heart as well. And I love doing it. I'm learning so much.
And you came in.
They get exactly this. They get to be in my madness and we talk about all kinds of things.
You came in third on Celebrity Cook-Off a couple of years ago anyway. So you know what you're doing in the kitchen. It's not.
I do. Yeah. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I have had some experience, and that's the whole thing is prior to the, even the pandemic and all that stuff, I was going to NOLA with my limited time off, and I was going to go there and start to work with chefs and just, you know, kind of dig in for 6 weeks, all things music and good food, and kind of further my education before I launched out and started doing this. But it's all backwards now, and but we'll make it work.
that's got to be a bananas thing for your band, like especially like newer members as they got to know you and you're cooking for that. We interviewed Zach Wilde last night, who's Ozzy Osbourne's longtime guitarist. And I mean, I couldn't imagine any of those stories being in, like, we tore down the Madison Square Garden and then we went back and Ozzy threw together a turkey chili that'll knock your dick in the dirt.
Yeah, well, you know what? Actually, some people do. I know that I think it's, I think it's Rick Astley or somebody like that that likes to cook too, or go out with a band or something. Beers, I think it might be something like that. They brew their own beers or something. But I mean, I've heard other celebrities say that, yeah, but it is a unique experience. Yeah. I just find that, you know, for me, it's like a way for me to calm down. I want that. You know, I love the people around me. They're my family. So we enjoy that time. And then I started sharing it with my fans and just, you know, they started doing my recipes and I was like, oh, that's a big compliment. And then all of a sudden we started having real conversations on the bus about it. And they were asking me questions. And I was like, well, no, I do this, this, and that. And we're talking tricks of the trade and they're exchanging recipes. And I thought, well, this is where this is going. It makes sense.
You know, Jay,
but when you were in your 20s though, and stuff, and like late teen, did you like rage tour ever, or was it always pretty docile backstage?
Oh, I mean, well, I mean, I went on the road with the New Kids on the Block eventually, and they had their own thing going on.
didn't you boyfriend? You made one of them a boyfriend.
I did make one of them a boyfriend.
Idiot.
I know. No, he's lovely. John is really, he's my friend still. So it's a good thing. I mean, it all worked out for the best, you know, but I mean, yeah, I mean, I couldn't really date anyway. They had a handle on me. Nobody wanted me going out. I remember going to the beach one time. So that's one of the guys at the hotel we were staying at for quite some time. We were there for like 8 days or something. And he asked me out with a bunch of friends to go to the beach and stuff. And of course the hotel manager gave, like, you know, reference and everything. And my aunt, who was my custodial guardian, she said, okay. My manager went crazy, had the tour manager follow me. I stopped the car. I was so embarrassed. I had all these people in the car, all the kids, you know. I stopped the bands, like, hanging over the balcony because, you know, he was really causing a problem. And my aunt was like, look, I have control. She said, this is where she's going. She's going to go. So then I got out of the car and I started giving him hell. This little girl at 17, I was all, oh no, you're not following me.
When you popped, how old were you? You were young, 15?
I was only 14. Well, I started.
I saw you in Star Search in 84, right?
Yeah. Little Richard just passed away and I just moved forward and I'm so grateful, but I just keep moving forward and, you know, and all of a sudden Little Richard died and I saw it on the internet and I was like, oh, my childhood. And people don't know that I actually started out doing shows with Jerry Lee Lewis and Little Richard and Hoyt Axton and on and on and on and on, you know, Mickey Gilley and Johnny Lee. And I mean, I did country music at the time and I started when I was 8 and 9. So, you know, I was backstage at some wild things that weren't Disney before.
My question though is saying when you pop like that at like 15 though, you know, when you're on a MTV and your videos are out there and you're huge. I'm so curious. I know relatively well Joey Fatone, and yes, our first time we ever hung out, I asked him like a similar thing because, you know, same thing. There's a time when those guys would go, you know, I'm just like dicking around with them like at a hang because we have a common buddy. To see someone in that setting when you're like, wow, to process, like, they had to have tanks like lead you guys to your hotel when you'd land in Japan and stuff like that. And I'm just curious, at your age, being that young, my daughter at 14 years old tried stand-up comedy, which I was impressed by that she wanted to even try it. And I was, whether she did even like great or not, it was just a matter that at 14 to be willing to get up there and do that, I couldn't. What does that do on your mentally when you're 15, 16 years old, and when you walk into a mall, it shuts the whole fucking place down? Like, it's like, what is that? Do you go home at night and just watch regular TV and like crash out and bullshit with friends on the phone? Or, I mean, like, it's, do you get a chance to be like normal?
Me? Yes, I do. I mean, I don't know. And people will tell you this. It's either a good thing or a bad thing. I think it's a good thing. I frustrate myself sometimes, but the whole like celebrity thing, I've never really gotten. I mean, I've gotten it when I, you know, it's nice to be, you know, in the restaurant's crowded and they put you at the front of the line. No lie. That's nice. You know, you're like, oh, it's a good day to be Tiffany, you know?
Right.
But you know, other than that, towards people, no.
But I mean, at the time,
I still get really like that girl that I'm like, I don't ever assume people are going to know who I am or even like who I am. And even my fans, I don't walk in a room like, you are here because of me. I walk in going, hey guys, how can I help you? Sit down. You guys got drinks? What's going on? But tell me about yourself. And they're just like, whoa.
Boy, he's Reno, because you were, I think it's still true, the youngest female to have a number one record, right? I don't know if that's still the case.
Back to back. I had two number one back to back and an album to follow.
Right. But so I mean, not
suck
so much
on that
now.
Shannon.
Yeah, Shannon, get your shit together. Now you're older, you've been married, you have kids, you have a chance to assess what's happened before. But I think Jay's talking like you were in a way like the first viral sensation through before there was any internet. Everyone was talking about these mall concerts that this 15-year-old girl is doing. You figured out a way to make everyone talk about you. Then it had to affect your brain at 15. I know that I would be insufferable.
I really don't think so. I mean, again, it didn't really affect me more than anything. I mean, you know, I mean, if honestly speaking, is, you know, I went from a massive mall and like Tiffany and kind of popping and the people playing my song to going home still an apartment where I live with my mom, where there was still some issues in my family. So you had like, and then, you know, kind of that for the first year of my career until I decided to become emancipated and go live with my grandmother and everything. So, you know, I mean, I always, maybe that's what kept me real, to be honest with you, because there's real stuff behind the scenes. So I learned to like maybe balance in a weird way fame, that it's real, but it's not, because there's still real shit that is at your home waiting for you. So cut the crap.
I'll tell you a funny thing that you're one of the people at the core of on my radio show I do on SiriusXM, is we were looking at like celebrities who got emancipated from their parents. And now whenever we just talk about anybody, we always throw it as a factoid. We just say they've been emancipated. They got emancipated when they were 13. Because always make people go, what the fuck did their family do? Oh, you know, my friend Ralph, he's a cool guy, man. He's emancipated when he was 13 years old. I don't ask a lot of questions about it.
Was it a
They actually did change the laws after my case and things like that and do things a little different. You know, I mean, it was really a case of like, again, having real life situation at home, you know, no wrong or right or whatever, but for what I was doing, very distracting, not really healthy. And now I had the opportunity to go live with my grandmother and my mom being in a bad situation and her not being healthy yet. You know, it took some years. So all of that was still the first part of my career. So I think there was always this burst of success and this tug of holding you back, if that makes sense. So it kept me kind of always like, you know, I was experiencing it, but then I went home to this like weird thing. So, you know, it took me many years to kind of, and that's why I'm really like, I try to like have that grounding. It's probably why I'm cooking for the band.
Yeah, really.
I
like that balance.
Who was the one at that time? I mean, you were so young that advised you, oh, this is the right thing to do. You need to get emancipated. You know, where are you getting that advice from? How the fuck would you even know to do that at that age?
Well, I mean, definitely. I was in the circle of people, you know, people who had child. I was already going at that time to auditions for acting and modeling and dancing, because I was doing all of it before I got my record deal. And a lot of dancing actually at that time and some voiceover work. So again, you're around child actors, you're on set, you're already going to school, things like that, you know, even before I was famous. So it was kind of funny. I was like going to classes and school and things like that with like Ricky Martin and Soleil Moon Frye and Stacey Ferguson, you know, Fergie and all these people behind the scenes, Martika, all these guys when we were getting our start as just kids going on the acting scene in LA.
I'd be lying if I didn't tell you. I'd be lying if I didn't tell you that I listened to that Martika song at least a couple times a year.
Toy Soldiers?
Come on.
Awesome. Yeah.
It was fantastic. Did you smell the gay on Ricky Martin that young?
I did not, no, but I didn't know anything was going on. I didn't know anything about that at that time. You know, I really was, I mean, my parents were just, my father really at that time, he was taking me all the classes and we were just barely making it to go all the lessons. You know, it was expensive and he was driving me 45 minutes one way and 45 minutes the next. All those kids were, a lot of them were in Hollywood, came from actor families, whatever. So it was a different thing. So I, you know, again, I always went back home into my little hole where I kind of, it was a whole different upbringing. Now, like I said, I know Joey, he's awesome. He's a good friend of mine and stuff like that. He always comes to the shows at Disney when I play and brings his family and stuff like that. So I'm honored now to like have a group of people that I do know who are successful, who again have that balance.
Right.
You know, they have success, they know how to do it, they, you know, they'll work, they love their fans, but then they also want just that me time and they're well grounded and they want to do other things.
He's a pretty grounded dude.
All right, before we go any further, I want to tell you about one of our longtime sponsors, super cool company, Yo Kratom. YoKratom.com. They are sponsoring Skankfest. They are the best source for the $60 kilo of high-end kratom. Don't go running to a gas station picking up Fred's kratom. It's probably something that's like cut with other crap and not going to make you feel good. You want high-quality kratom that's usually $80 to $120 bucks. But if you go to YoKratom.com, you can get high-quality kratom for $60 a kilo. Shannon, you're the kratom specialist here. Is that a fair word?
Sure.
Because you do have a couple of favorite, is it strains? Is that the right way to put it?
Yeah, from Yo Kratom, I've been using one called Trainwreck, which is a combination of several different strains. Mm-hmm. And I prefer the one in a powder, but they also have capsules and extracts. Like they have many different ones and they have like several different strains. So everything that you're looking for, they have.
Go figure. Shannon likes a train wreck. Big shock. Hello. All right, once again, go to YoKratom.com. You know, just a bunch of cool guys, especially during the chaos that is now. You might want a little extra YoKratom to help chill you out a little bit, help you even it out while the world is on fire and there's an apocalypse. Go to YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo. All right, let's get back into it, Shannon.
I'd be remiss if I don't ask you about this. I want to ask this question here about with kid gloves. Because I realize it's something that I find to be so pure entertainingly bizarre. It's probably something that's pretty real for you. But we tried to get you as a guest a while back on my radio show on Sirius XM, and it was just like a timing thing didn't work out. But I fumbled upon a documentary. I don't even know if you want to or can talk about this at all. But I think we're alone now, which is, I mean, I picked this thing apart on my radio show like the Zapruder film. It was so interestingly bizarre. But as I say that in meeting you and speaking with you, I realize it's something that actually might be like, there's probably an element much more of like scary and holy shit about it. but I mean, that documentary, one, blew my mind the most. And Ralph just watched it last night.
I watched it last night. Yeah.
It hit me the most because two times, if I'm not wrong, it's been a while since I watched it, two times, in that documentary, both of those wackos get their hands on you. That's fucking crazy. Like that was a mind blow to me.
Well, yeah, they've met me. Both of them have met me.
Yeah.
So,
no, I don't mean like hurt to hurt you. I'm saying just get like in like striking distance of you, which seems holy shit.
Yeah, they've been around. I didn't really know too much about the documentary, and my participation in the documentary was very fictitious. I always, again, if somebody tells me, hey, you know, for the most part, I mean, back then especially, I was a little nicer. Now I have to be a little more guarded, unfortunately. But I was in Santa Cruz, I think it was somewhere or something like that, and they said they were film students. And they wanted to talk to me about being a celebrity and being from a hometown and how it all worked out. I mean, just, you know, could you spare some time? And I said, oh, sure, yeah, okay, that's cool. So then that's what they were asking me in the first, like, 10 minutes. And then all of a sudden they started asking me weird questions, you know, about stalkers and stuff. And I was like, well, I don't really feel very comfortable. And I said a few things. And I was like, what? But again, we kind of stopped the interview or just kind of got myself out of it. No one told me they were going to go off and make this documentary, you know. And that's part of fame. I mean, that really
is.
Yeah,
yeah. No, I assume. But I mean, like.
I mean, there's, you know, there's been some scary, really scarier experiences outside of the U.S. and things like that from just random people.
Yeah, those people didn't seem dangerous as much as they just seemed disconnected. Like, they were like, they really found like two people that were like, almost like they built a sympathy for them because like they're just so disconnected from like reality.
Well, I mean, in Jeff's case, you know, I mean, it's funny because I mean, I know I've had Jeff has been around in my life now since I was 15. Jesus. So in his case, yes, I mean, I did file a restraining order. He did do some things that were kind of what, you know, but you know, he actually has a disease.
Yeah, he has Asperger's. They talk about it.
You know, capacity. And he's been very honest about it now. Now that I've been reading about it, he's no harm. He's no threat. You know, right. So actually, when he comes to the shows, it's like we're like, Jeff, just, you know, can you help with merch or whatever? He is part of. It's weird. If you have to have a stalker, he's part of Team Tiff. He's not a harm. Right. He just, he will talk your ear off about Tiffany. You'll leave going, I never want to talk about Tiffany again.
No, yeah, he was, I mean, but I was telling Ralph, I was so hard not to spoiler alert it for him, but I mean, like, when he was at the end of this documentary, I don't know, you said you've never seen it, the documentary before?
I've never seen it, no.
You've never seen it? At the end of this documentary, it's a voiceover of him, and it's like, you know, whatever, months later, after they met you and had their argument. In a hotel room, you hear his voiceover going, yeah, he goes, look, I'm seeing somebody now, and I know it's crazy, but I realized that, you know, of course, I'm never going to be with Tiffany. Of course, I'm never going to be with Tiffany. It was ridiculous for me to think that. Now that I have Alyssa in my life, I see how clear that is. And you're like, oh, first thing I was thinking in my head, I go, I cannot wait to see this gigantic woman that is going to be that is going to be Alyssa that came into his life, like some weird lady like using him for something. And then it was just holding a CD of Alyssa Milano. Like he just transferred
his energy to
his Alyssa energy. But he was he sounded so lucid about being like, I now realize it's bananas to think I'd be with Tiffany. So you're like, oh, this guy had some real like epiphany and he's just turned the focus.
For a second, I thought maybe he got on some medication that cleared his head up and he was back to normal, but boy was he not. It's great.
Yeah.
I've never seen the documentary. Like I said, I only know really with Jeff's case and stuff like that because he's been around for so long and, you know, and he's come to a lot of the shows. And so it's like, you know, and I actually had a chance to kind of sit down within reason. I have management and stuff with me, but you know, we were like, you're here all the time. We got to figure something out. And once he, you know, once he really was able to share with us, you know, where he's coming from and, you know, his challenges and things like that, then it's like, oh, okay, this is making some sense. So in his case, I think the other one's Kelly and I don't really know too much about them. So, you know, it's like I said, I've never seen the documentary and it was so like, again, now you kind of spoil it because it's like, I can't just be free flowing and just like help people out. I'm like, what are you doing with this? Hold on, what's going on? You know? So that's kind of how that all came about. But yeah, I've heard it's really creepy.
I'll tell you what, if you watch it for no other reason, get to know Kelly. Kelly's quite a character. Again, I would almost argue like not a harm to you at all, but I mean, one of just the funniest, it's like being a little overly obsessive about Tiffany is 55th on this person's bizarre list. Don't even, there's a lot of things that have to happen before you have any problems coming your direction. But it's such a bizarre thing. And yeah, and
it's a bizarre thing that people, yeah, I mean, you know, like it's so different now, I think too, like, because it's like, you know, even back then it was like people, you know, you really didn't see people that much or they wouldn't have Instagram or Facebook. Right.
No, celebrities very accessible. Yeah, celebrities very accessible.
Yeah, I mean, now you're so accessible and people, you know, see your life and they do stuff. So you can see a lot more of this stuff.
And also, the simple act of you liking a tweet might satiate some people. that otherwise would seek you out?
Well, I mean, you just have to roll with it. You know, more than anything, you just kind of have to come from a
good way. And watching a couple of things about you, one of the things that I really enjoyed watching was the movie you did with Debbie Gibson, the Mega Python versus Gatoroid. That was
silly and just ridiculous.
Silly and fun. It was so fun. It was really fun.
Yeah, I really
at the Oscars, I heard.
Well, I mean, it's very, you know, I did.
Jay, there's a scene where they're rolling around fighting each other. They're like,
who would have thought that Deb and I, everybody thought that we would do music together, and it's just never really happened. We've collaborated on live shows together, but actually recording something, no. It just hasn't happened. But, you know, I'm a sci-fi lover. She had already done a sci-fi film, so had I. It made sense. We got to do, you know, all that cheeky stuff where we had the big, you know, cat fight and throw each other over the tables and all that kind of stuff. That was a lot of fun. We wanted to do as much.
Ironically, Ralph, let me tell you, ironically, Frozen in Time, in the bedroom I would stay in at my grandmother's house when I was younger. Mm-hmm. I believe I have a pennant of the 1980-something Phillies, a pennant of the 19-something Eagles, a Fresh Prince and DJ Jazzy Jeff poster from Philly, and then John Bon Jovi giving me double gun barrels.
All right.
Pinups is the wrong word, right? But is that what they're called?
Pendants? Pendants? No.
No. When you pull it out of the magazine, when you get like
magazine. Like the
Pullouts or pullouts.
Yeah. Pullouts. And I had John Bon Jovi give me double gun barrels, Debbie Gibson in a jean jacket, and a Tiffany doing this.
Oh,
or no, maybe just rustling up the hair and looking at me.
Yeah.
In the movie, Jay, they're wrestling each other in a lake, and then they get up, and Tiffany asks Debbie, are we okay? And she goes, Debbie goes, yeah, I think we're alone now.
Yeah.
And then Ralph didn't see the rest of the movie because he came.
I came right then and there. Yeah. I
turned it off.
And I finished in a different way.
We should go back and do the rest. It's really good.
Can me and Ralph be in your next stalker documentary? And by the way, we're not going to hurt you. It's just me versus Ralph. Who can stalk you better? It's more just a competition than it is a danger to you. You'll be fine. But
last year you toured with Debbie and the New Kids, right? That's such a cool tour. I actually wish I saw that tour. I didn't even know that happened.
Yeah, well, I was on the road with my own tour, doing Pieces of Me again, being out on the road. And, you know, it's been a wild ride. A lot of people are like, Tiffany, live performer? What? She sings I Think We're Alone Now over and over again. About what's going on? So now that I have this new material, it was time to get to the road, show people what I've got. And we've been doing that. And then the mixtape tour called. And, of course, I wanted to be a part of that. So rearranged my tour, did a first part of that, then stopped. Took like literally, I think it was like a week off, then did 55 dates with the New Kids, then took 3 days off, I think it was, then 48 dates with my own tour again.
Wow.
Finished that. So that was like about a year and a half's worth of work before mixtape tour, because we knew about it. And then, you know, like we haven't really stopped, but it was great. I loved it. It was a whole different way of bonding with that original audience. But the golden gem, really, was, I mean, not just the highlight of singing in the arena and being on the road with the boys and stuff, but that opportunity to be on that bus with all the fans, because there was a lot of great meet and greet packages. Mm-hmm. And for me, the golden gem was having that connection at the end of the night, playing songs on an acoustic guitar, doing what we're doing now with the new EP coming out. So that's, you know, a full circle there. That's in the spirit of that. That was like the storytellers. That's where I got to know everybody's business and the good stories. And we had wine and hung out on the bus. And, you know, just, I mean, it was really, like I said, people would come on and it was like, chill out. You don't have to rush.
When you're being that nice to all of them, it seems like you're laying the seeds for I Think We're Alone Now, the Doc Part 2.
Well, no, I think it's going to be a good thing, actually. Yeah. I think for me as a songwriter, I can say that, it, you know, it's so fulfilling because I do get all these personable people and outlooks of life. And, you know, it's my chance to connect with people. And like I said, there's so many great footage from being on the bus doing like after show, rocking it out. You know, your voice is a little more trashed and, you know, you're just in that comfort zone. It's a whole other thing than being in an arena. It's right. It's like two different things. And having both in one night was pretty magical, to be honest with you, those experiences.
Do you have any funny stories of just, I mean, being on that tour, there had to be just 40 to 45 year old women just sidearm slanging ass at these guys. I mean, you had to see some crazy attempts at like getting to these guys.
Oh, it still goes on. I've always seen it. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't change. Yeah. I mean, I'm like, wow. Okay. But I expected it. I do, you know, I mean, the girls are crazy for the guys. I mean, it still goes on. You know? And they're so endearing with their fans. I mean, they love the girls, the ladies, and they know, you know, I mean, that was the one thing. It's like, they, on this mixtape tour, and thank you to the guys, you know, they told the story of how my involvement and I put them on the road and gave them kind of a shot and all that. So they told that in the story, in the set. So before I sang All This Time, they come on, they say thank you to me doing this beautiful, I didn't even know it was going to happen. It was such a surprise. But every night there was this big backstory and just saying, you know, thank you to me for giving me their shot. But really, truthfully, every night that I sat in that venue, and it sounds kind of cheesy, but it's the truth. I just kind of thought, wow, this is really cool. Like, I gave somebody their chance, and look, 30 years later, they're still rocking it and they're still connecting with their fans, and they're good guys. And, you know, they're just doing what they love. And you know what? I don't know. I felt like, yeah, it makes sense. Go for it. I did it without my manager's consent, and I got into massive trouble.
I also really enjoyed watching your the Billboard at Home video and the acoustic videos you've been putting out for Piece of Me Unplugged. And, you know, it's a totally different side of you. It's not what you expect to see, but you really are nailing it. It's really great to see.
Well, thank you. Well, I appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, now, you know, like I said, it's just all of it has been really organic. I put the vibes out there that I just wanted to go full-fledged again with my career. And I've always been growing behind the scenes, but I didn't feel I was ready yet. You know, I mean, there was times I thought I was, and then it just didn't happen. And I thought, oh, maybe that's a blessing in disguise, because I do believe in that kind of stuff. And it's just all now started to happen. So I'm kind of riding the wave a little bit, but enjoying it and having a great time. And really, more than anything, it's been the response from the fans and from people from the music. Because it, you know, I mean, I could want to do it, but if the music's not good, we're done.
You've actually I was surprised. You have 10 albums under your belt. It's not like, you know, nothing to sneeze at, right? It's 10 albums.
Well, this EP is my 11th.
Right.
And then so Shadows, which will be coming at the end of July, which is more of, I mean, that this is going to be, you know, the EP right now, as it's dropping, we're pausing. We're still in quarantine. Some of us are doing their thing, whatever they need to do. But, you know, it's a time of reflection. And this was really in the spirit of the Pieces of Me tour, reaching back, you know, being at home, having acoustic guitar, you know, my producer, and we can play and all that kind of stuff while we're working on the rest of the album. And now that's coming out. But the new album, Shadows, which will be my 12th album, I mean, that's full-fledged, you know, got a massive punk flair to it. People are going to be like, what? That really is the one to talk about, because, I mean, that, you know, again, that's going to be the one that kind of people just go, what is happening here? Hold on.
Yeah, I know we don't have a lot of time, Jason.
Can I say two things?
Ask any question you have left, yeah.
Well, it's two things. I just want to, one's just to say, I just remembered, fun fact, is that Joey McIntyre also did that Nevermind the Buzzcocks show with Mark Maron. He also did episodes.
Oh, yes.
Very, very cool guy.
Yes, he did.
Very, very cool guy. Right. My final question is, I'm a TV guy and TV arrangement. And I got to tell you, I see the TV's over the fireplace. I can't guess where your couches are. And I'm concerned that you have a terrible setup for your television watching. I'm concerned that Tiffany, I see a plant half over the screen. These are all problems for me, Ralph.
No, this is like a little mini something something. So actually, but we did a live streaming and we put my face up here, so I know that's kind of obnoxious, but it's a nice back there. We put the I Think We're Alone Now, the new video. Rock the new video.
My girlfriend just walked over to check out your feng shui to see too. She goes, what's wrong with this TV setup? She knows how much it matters to me.
I'm a big crystal person. I'm like, I've become like this little Zen hippy dippy tippy.
Oh yeah, here, come say hi. It's my girlfriend Christine. She's also a crystal person.
There you go.
A crystal.
I want good stuff around me, girl.
A crystal went missing from our house, and Christine's been like superstitiously nervous about that.
On it, right? Yeah, I don't like that.
Sports just disappeared out of nowhere.
Well, Jay, if I said it once, I said it 1,000 times. Us Middle Eastern Syrian people really care about crystals.
Oh, man. Ralph's claiming Middle Eastern all of a sudden, talking about being Syrian.
He's never, Syrian.
Yeah, see?
But he's never talked about this ever.
No, I knew Ralph's Syrian.
Ah, shut your mouth, Jay. You don't know anything.
She'll do anything to go against me. No, we've been quarantined, and she likes to go against me, so there's some drama in the house.
And before, by the way, before we hit the first, I think we have a mutual friend for some reason.
Storyline interesting.
You know Cher Gorgeous. Tiffany, do you know Cher Gorgeous?
I do.
Yeah, it's funny. We have a mutual friend.
She's lovely. I just was on her podcast.
Yeah, I just happened to. I was watching
songs on her show. Yeah,
I was watching one of your videos and I saw her commenting, and it seemed like from her comments that she knew you. So I was like,
Oh yeah,
that's pretty funny.
Yeah, but no, she's my buddy. We hang out. Yeah, when I go to New York, we go and see all of our. We have a big group of people, so you know, it's like, yeah, it's been great. I think she's been to a few acoustic shows as well. So
that's great. We got to hit the first because we don't have a lot of time. So, Channel will hit the first.
The first time ever I saw concert Detroit.
The name of the show is SDR, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll. We end the show every single week by asking our guests their first experience with all three. And we start with rock and roll, meaning the first concert you saw. I imagine you were super young. You started singing super young. So we'll say the first concert that you went to on your own volition. Does that make sense? Because when you're 5 or 6, you're going where your parents are taking you.
Right.
The one that you went to on your own.
Well, I was already singing at my own shows, but the one that I was actually taken to, somebody bought me a ticket and I went just as a spectator, was Patti LaBelle. And it was my cousin and he was getting me into like Manhattan Transfer and Cheryl Scott and all those, Scare Cheryl Lynn Scott and all those people. Because I was a rock star. I only listened to rock music and I was trashing my voice. And he was like, you've got to learn how to sing different. And thank God, because I started learning how to sing different more than save my voice. But I remember the first concert was Patti LaBelle, like I said, and she came out with those fans on her hair. I was like, what? This is amazing.
That's
but
cool.
Man, talk about a voice. That was it.
And what about the first drug you ever did? Ideally not pot, unless pot was the worst drug you ever did.
I would say probably the second drug that I ever did would be cocaine.
Cocaine.
Okay, what we thought was cocaine. I mean, I don't know what that was, but it was white, kind of.
It was you and the New Kids on the Block on the tour?
No, it was way before I even had a record deal. I grew up in Norwalk, California. And again, I grew up in a Latin community and real kids and all that kind of stuff. So drugs were around me and on the streets by the time I was 12, 13, you know, so I had already tried something even before I had a record deal, to be honest with you.
Wow. All right. That's good. Yeah.
I know, very young. I know. Don't judge me.
Just stayed up all night, gacked out, singing all night.
Well, no, I mean, it was just a little, it was after school. It was one of those things where you went to somebody's house after school and all these people get together. Then somebody has something and you're like, ooh, try a little bit. But I remember feeling like different. Of course, I felt different. I didn't really like it. You know, and I thought for sure I was going to get busted. So I was paranoid for like 2 weeks after that.
My daughter's 17 and she's never done anything like that. I guess she's just better than Tiffany.
I guess she is. I love her.
I have no idea. She may have. God, I hope she hasn't. I hope she hasn't.
I'm sure she has, Jay. Let's be honest.
Oh, gosh.
The first time that you had sex?
The first time I had sex, I was 15.
15? So you're all. You've already, at that point, you kind of hit a little bit already.
I was already famous and still dating just my, I wasn't dating John Knight at the time. I was dating just my regular high school boyfriend before I was famous.
How long did that last when you became famous? You had the same boyfriend. How long did that last?
About 2 years still.
Wow.
But it was difficult because, we still know each other. We have a goddaughter together. I still know all his family. So, hey, Aguilar's out there. But it was hard. It was the first experience I had, to be honest with you, knowing that guys would be kind of weird dating a girl that was maybe traveling or doing other things, you know, like it's not just so easy. So, or they take advantage of you, or they trying to, you know, he really had a hard time with it. He got really jealous. So that kind of
I know you say you're friends with him still. and he's great. You know his family and your godparents together. But there is no chance in the world that that is not still what he leads with in his most interesting thing about his life. Is that he took Tiffany's virginity. They go, I think we're alone now, Tiffany. You go, yeah, dude, I know, right? Isn't that crazy? me, Steve, you know, from the shop.
Okay, I don't think about it like that, but okay.
He's like, he goes, hey, Steve, nice to meet you. Tell me something about yourself. Well, let me lead with the fact that I think we're alone now, Tiffany. Yeah, dude. That's yeah. And then yada, yada, yada. I bought this deli. Bip, bop, boop. I bought a deli.
Tiffany, so everything for the Let's Food with Tiffany for the info on the new EP. Go to TiffanyTunes.com, of course. The EP is coming out very soon. Is it this week it's coming out?
Yes, it's coming out now. It's out. It's dropped already. So you can go there and find instant music, which is exciting. And then, like I said, the new album will be coming out end of July. But join me in this wonderful acoustic venture that we're doing and all the live streaming that I'm doing. So come be a part of it.
Yeah, I saw a lot of them. So you could do that there. It's pretty cool. And, of course, also if you want to do the Let's Food with Tiffany, it's on there as well. We'll pick a song off the EP. We do every week, the sdrshow.com/playlist. Jay, do you have any plugs you want to throw in?
Yep. My Netflix comedy special, episode one, season one of The Degenerates. Check out my hour special live at Webster Hall. Available on Amazon, CC Music, and as of now, Helium in Indianapolis. I will be there June 18th to the 20th. As of now,
in theory,
I will say it is happening. We'll see how I feel as it gets a little closer, but as of now, it's on the books.
And Shannon?
Listen to my podcast, The Thing Is Ding. We talk about bad dates, fighting, and ghosts. And follow me on Instagram at ShannonLee6982.
Follow me over at I Am Ralph Sutton. Tiffany, thank you so much. It really was a lot of fun.
Oh, awesome, guys. Thank you so much. Lots of love to you guys.
Take care.
Bye. Bye.
Listening to the SDR Show.